as we do, the Black Eyed Peas, Meet Me Halfway. Well, it's one way forward, really. On to Tallulah Randall, who has recently released which album, Rachel?
That would be Banshee and the Moon.
The Banshee and the Moon, her third album in a row. And from the Banshee and the Moon, what do you think? Should we go with the Banshee?
Yeah, sure.
Why is she standing in the cauldron, looking her in the eye? The birth of beauty broken forth and screaming up inside. And I can see the world, I can see her fate all around in me. Suddenly it broke forth, the Banshee broke to breathe and so...
I do think that the inspiration comes from the world of superheroes, because the Banshee is a key member of the X-Men. Good on you, Sean. And, of course, resonates in every sort of sense of the superheroine that is Tallulah Randall. Who's online now? Tallulah Randall, how are you?
I'm very well, my dear. How are you?
Very good indeed. Currently looking at a photograph on Facebook with our site here with your good self and Rachel Warren, which is liked by Lala Woods, Ralph Sinaufchik, and Andrew Simon Carr. But not yourself, Tal. I know she liked some of the photos. Didn't like that one. Never mind. It's okay. It's yourself. You've been tagged in it. You look absolutely sensational. What a night! What a night! What a series of notes.
You made it.
We made it there. It was getting back that was the challenge. You know, it's all right. They closed the M1. It just meant that we took a little bit longer to get Rachel back to her Lincoln base. Like 6.5 hours longer. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
How often?
Die hard.
Well, how often, Atal, have you actually thought, look, it's only time. That's the important thing. What do I need sleep for? You know? Anyway, always well with the world. That's the important thing. Rachel, you've had time to actually soak up the atmos of the whole thing. Now, you've got the album. You've listened to tracks on there. So go on, share with Tal. This is important. You know, how wondrous the whole thing was.
It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. It was so good. Like I loved the music. I loved the whole like feeling of the room. Like the way it was more like an exhibition, and it was all like joined together, and everyone was as much a part of it. And you'd included people who you care about. It really showed it was a labour of love, and it was lovely. It was really lovely to join it.
This is the whole thing, you know. I noticed that the photograph of Tal's brother, Nick, of course, and her father, is liked by Hayley Selick, Angie Butler, Michelle Spurge, Susie Dowding, and Pierre Lallier. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, you can get overly obsessive about this, clearly, Holly. But, you know, sometimes you think, perhaps I should like it as well. Actually, I have liked it. There we are. Very good. Marvellous stuff there. I don't know. It's great material. Holly, sadly, you couldn't be with us.
No, and I'm really gutted because I've listened to the album online. Oh, I absolutely loved it. Really, really like that album.
Worry not, Holly, because there is a way in which Tallulah could actually come and perform in your very own living room.
Is there? Yes. And what is this way, pray tell?
What is this way, Tal? You know, in terms of performing in a person's living room, are we going to keep that magic going? Because it has been one of the most extraordinary lines, and your description indeed in the album for Banshee and the Moon of how you just sort of effectively get into a car and drive was very actually equivalent in many ways to our kind of we don't know where we're going. It's the Northwest. No, we should be going east. I don't know. Where are we? Where's Newark today?
Basically, the whole idea was last year, as Alex just mentioned, as part of the crowdfunding for the album, I ended up doing a living room tour, which meant that fans all around the country were hosting me to come and play in their houses. So I played in kitchens and gardens and cellars and, you know, living rooms. And I just kind of turned up with my little PA and played for 2.5 hours, and people brought booze and food. And it was just a really intimate and lovely way to play the music and to connect with the fans and the audience. So yeah, I'm basically continuing that on.
A little shot of the Valkyrie there, which I noticed, Tallulah, you have actually liked the shot of Rachel Warren and, of course, your manager, Mel, which I thought was very good from that sort of point of view. Mel, who provided a heartfelt response. If people are sort of thinking, what was it all about? We have endeavoured to produce an audio postcard. I don't know if you caught any of it, Tal, but, I mean, that is online, which you can obviously listen to, including, obviously, very importantly here, a thanks to all the sponsors of the evening, which is there. I mean, have you had a chance, have you come down from Cloud 56 as yet to actually sort of check out some of the things which we were doing whilst we were busily interviewing folk around there?
No, I mean, God, I've just spent the last kind of 3 days taking everything out of the gallery, and it's now, the exhibition is going to a members club in Soho, so just basically kind of getting it all kind of going there, and just, I mean, the kind of like the logistics of putting on a 4-day event like that has just been enormous, and just kind of catching up with just all the things that have come out of it, which have been really, really amazing. Mm. And really just, I haven't actually caught my breath yet, so sort of, you know, I'm kind of I'm sort of at that point where I know that if I stop, I think I'll just need to sleep for days, because
it's okay.
I'm so exhausted.
So and that's one of the reasons why people might say, yes, but you didn't do a one-to-one interview with Tal when you were actually doing the audio postcard. That's because she was just so busy, Rachel. That's the key. It just was. It's amazing. Hence the reason. And of course, let's face it, it's every fortnight Tallulah Rendell talks.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
I know. I think I kept trying to get you to do something with you, and it was just, as you saw, it was just kind of, when you're doing something like that, it's just crazy trying to, you know, coordinate it all. And there were so many pledges and friends and family, and then, you know, just the actual practicalities of running the event and then actually performing at it as well. It was all a little bit Dick Van Dyke kind of multitasking, Mary Poppins style.
As I said, yeah, I almost thought the penguins were actually going to leap out of the paving stones any time now. It's fantastic. As clearly we've identified the fact that your father is already booking you to do the soundtrack music for the next fabulous movie that's coming out featuring Christian, of course, the line, which I think is fantastic stuff from that. I'll go back to the superhero line here, and I'll tell you that, because obviously I mentioned the Banshee, but Canary. Yeah. Now, you see, you might sort of think, oh, Canary, that comes out of a little burglary. No, it's Black Canary, isn't it? It's Dinah Shore from an alternate sort of universe there. That's a key thing we're going from. You might well say, look, it's death of the author, it's Roland Barthes, but then you might say, Tal, I'm an English graduate. It's the sort of thing I do. Oh, you may sort of think, no. But in terms of the inspiration, though, let's get serious for a moment. The key things that sort of emerged from that is it's a very personal album. I mean, I sensed it was personal right from the start, even more so than Alive was, which I think was highly personal, and you know, even before that, Libellus. I mean, but this is one which really comes from the heart, I sensed.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the fact that I crowdfunded it on my own website rather than going through kind of Pledge or Kickstarter or anything like that, and it really involved me reaching back out to the fans and just saying that, you know, it's a huge amount of trust because I'm doing it from my site, and that first hurdle to overcome and actually kind of go, okay, I'm going to do it that way. And then, you know, it was a real kind of 2-year journey of kind of, you know, traveling, moving countries, moving to Germany, moving back, and just the process of leaving the band and, you know, playing everything on the album myself, and really kind of, you know, so many different life changes that were very, very, very dramatic. And, you know, I think it just took me very, very deep into myself, you know, and into kind of the questions that I really needed to answer and kind of decisions that I needed to make. So, and I just think the simplicity of the aesthetic simplicity of just, you know, having 14 images and each, you know, each song being represented on the album by a black and white photo that I directed, I had a very clear idea of how I wanted the image to be represented. And so there was a kind of coherence with this album that I don't think was present with the other two because of the kind of multidimensionalness of the collaborations. So it was, you know, this is really me and my vision and my, it couldn't really get any more personal, I don't think.
Rachel, questions from yourself.
I agree with you about the whole, like, you got a real sense of that when I was there. You could tell everyone, like, you'd involved, like, the photographers were people who you knew, like, some of them you knew, and you, like, all your family. It was like a living entity. You'd put so much into it, it'd become a proper, I thought that was really beautiful, the fact that it was so special. It gives you a broad confidence as well to involve people who you care about so much.
It's so interesting that you call it a living entity, because Jem, who I'm sure you met, who's been working with me, helping me out as an intern, she summed it up really well, because Libellus, which was the first album, and the title for that was taken from an Iris Murdoch novel called The Sea. And in the novel, Iris talks about a libellus, a small book of poetry that comes to life. And Jem has been helping write some press releases, and she was saying, you know, it's amazing how, you know, each of your albums has taken on another element from that original libellus. And, you know, your final kind of, this final body now, it really kind of, it's you that's really fully come to life. And all element, it's kind of, now more than ever, it's just a libellus, you know, if that makes any sense. It was kind of a really interesting way of looking at it and seeing how all three albums have sort of tied together in that way.
It felt so natural as well and personal, like Canary, which I think was my favourite, like the little, like the birds in the background, and you said that they were, when you were recording it, they were there, like, oh, that was really lovely.
Thank the Lord, no Sylvester either. Tweety Pie, but, you know, nothing else. I told I to our pussycat. Sorry. That'll be a whole new album. Holly?
I'm looking through the book now.
Album.
Either way. Yeah, no, I absolutely love these photos. I love, I don't know how to pronounce their name, actually. Akio. My two favourite ones in the book have to be these, where you're stood on a swing and one way you're laid in the grass. Shine On and Eyes.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the focus on eyes. I love the fact that, yeah, it feels really calm and you feel like you can imagine you're the other person laid down looking at you.
I'd never thought of it that way.
That's why these fortnightly links are so crucial to Lula, because actually it's a bit like existential psychoanalysis done live. It's fantastic. It opens up a whole new range of things. So, as ever, time is just sort of beating against the door, a bit like a canary beating its wings. It's a little cute on the next record. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this, your first link post the official release of the Banshee and the Moon album?
Actually, just so you know, the album isn't released yet. This week was very much just a showcase and a launch for the album. So just kind of, it's not available. You mean you can't stream it online yet? You can't. No. It's not on iTunes or anything like that. It was really just a case of bringing everyone together that's been involved in it, and to really celebrate its completion. And now is the journey of actually trying to get it licensed and released properly. So it's not. It won't be. The book will be able to be pre-ordered and stuff like that. The book's available to buy, but the actual album won't be available digitally for a while yet, because I'm really kind of holding on to that,
We will maintain that, and we will obviously continue the soul sequence, because we have to ask you those last two questions. And Holly, would you like to just bowl them down the line?
I would love to.
Yes.
Have you had fun talking to us today?
I've had a lovely time talking to you today. Thank you very much.
And do we look forward to talking to you in a fortnight?
You do indeed.
Awesome. Where are you today, by the way? Are you in Devon? Are you back
in? No, I'm in London. I'm still in London. I haven't left yet.
So the voicemail I left in Devon's reason, obviously, thank the Lord for mobile. It's fantastic. I tell you what, Rachel, perhaps we should actually take a drive down to Devon. We'd probably guarantee we'd end up via northern France and probably go around via Hong Kong on our system. Yeah, it's just a thought. You know, we'll go with that. Tallulah Randall, round of applause, please. And TallulahRandall.com is the go-to website. As it's Rachel's favourite, shall we go with Canary Tal?
Yes, go for it.
I can see why that was your favourite Tallulah Randall track, and of course, live it's even more wondrous. Actually, equally wondrous, let's be honest. Tomorrow morning, quick heads up, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Louis Savvy will be looking ahead to Worldcon. Winnie Murphy will be joining us from the Bramham International Horse Trials. Matt Dawson, MBE, of course, will be talking about how, as a former international rugby star, he's going to be getting into a onesie. Say that again, former international rugby star getting into a onesie. And Victoria McCabe will be talking about her upcoming show, Dirty Dancing, before it opens at the Darlington Civic Theatre. But online now, we have another director. We promised you three. We now have the second chapter in terms of our ace directors who have a connection with Sci-Fi London. Who might that be, Holly?
Ilana Raine.
It would be Ilana Raine. How are you, Ilana?
Oh, hey, Alex. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Marvellous. The rain stopped in Lincoln, you'd be pleased to know. I know you worry in California about the sort of meteorological conditions on the east coast of the country, particularly when it's 6:30, or indeed actually coming up to 10:34 a.m. in Pacific Coast time. It's very important. Phil, don't worry, we'll be coming to you very shortly. How is life with yourself, Alana? Because I gather you've been sending over scripts to London, and even more exciting things are manifesting in the Alana Rain galaxy.
Yes, Alana, I like the idea of perhaps talking about myself in the third person one day, but it's not going to happen today.
Feel free, you know? Anyways.
No, it's going great. And once again, your show is just a wonderful bonding frequency between my dear friend and extremely close neighbor, Phil. As we text a little beforehand, and just helping me wake up. I've had a slightly slow morning. It's been a lot of late nights getting stuff to London and staying up. So it's like one of those situations where for working at 1 or 2 in the morning in L.A., a brand new shite bouncy day in London with, you know, a whole different perspective on how the day then unfolds. So trying to get back onto the Pacific Coast schedule right now.
Makes perfect sense.
And Phil came to me, the whole point of bringing him up was that he gave me some really fantastic imagery to work with this morning.
Exactly. Now, in terms of imagery from Phil Leonis, which could be a whole new series in itself, which I'm sure we'll actually sort of take and move forward. We've spoken already today with the director of Bunker 6 from this year's Sci-Fi London. We're talking with Tallulah Randall about the creative movement and creative lines from that perspective. You had a chance to have a listen to a little excerpt from Tallulah there in terms of musical magic. Are these things that kind of inspire yourself, Ilana, or is it just a case of you just let it happen and you create your own setups and scenarios?
Okay. Wait. What? I'm sorry. What was that? You're asking.
I'll just rephrase that. What inspires you apart from Phil Leonis's magic pictures? Is it music? Is it art? Is it the Midweek Drive phone links that you actually do? Is it white tea? Nice point.
White tea? No. I'm not into the white tea.
Really? You see, this is why. Just as we thought, Luke Carradine and Ilana Rain had everything in common. Luke,
he's into the white tower.
Massively, so.
White power tea is different than white tea. And I, the whole, genetically enhanced German-Italian conversation you guys had, that whole thing. We don't want to go there.
No.
And, music, I would say, is a big one for me. And I've realized, over the past 2 years, I've been looking at my playlist, and the majority of the songs on it don't have any lyrics. It's mostly electronica or jazz or classical. And, I realized that is something that I can't input as well as I'm writing and visualizing my film. I find that actual lyrics to songs are quite distraction. So I'm inspired by music primarily, if you point.
Well, you see, that is what we call a cliffhanger ending, because clearly we now have to bowl those last two questions to Ilana. I know it's frightening, but that's Vangelis Papathanasiou is actually in the left corner, actually coming in gently with his binary opposition entitled Heaven and Hell from, of course, the Carl Sagan series Cosmos. But we also need to squeeze in Phil Leonis, but what I can say is hopefully we can have a little subtext by saying, will Ilana be good for joining us next week? But we'll only find out the response to that if Rachel Warren asks those two questions. Rachel, go for it, my girl.
Okay, well, have you had fun briefly talking to us today?
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah, quickies can be really fun.
Well, there we are. Another bombshell quote from Ilana Rain hits the airwaves.
Well, can we look forward to talking to you again soon?
Sure, I'll be here for you guys.
Let's go for next week. Rachel might not be, and Holly might not be, but I'll be there for you, Ilana, because that's what we do on the Midweek Drive. We never leave somebody behind. We're always there. It's
big hugs.
Do you know, in the studio, they've been having a hug out with the badger. It's been amazing.
Once these photos,
get confused, it's a cuddly badger.
Published later on today on Facebook, you will just find that the Rachel Holly badger hug out is just phenomenal. Ilana Rain will return.
horse racing commentator and voiceover artist, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Truly one of the awesome people from the cosmos. Phil, welcome back to the show. 10 minutes after the normal scheduled time, but what's 600 seconds between transatlantic buds? How are you, sir?
I'm doing excellent. 600 seconds is a lot of time, especially where an Indiegogo crowdsourcing campaign.
Yeah.
Sourcing. You could be crowd surfing. That sounds like quite a good occupation for the moment. Oh,
these California souls and their wacky ways. You're quite right. You know, go now to the website for the fabulous Lady Killers. LadyKillersMovie.com, and all sorts of things will work through. Phil, I'm not going
to... Yeah, people will see the trailer for the film.
Yep.
There's a link below it to the crowdsource campaign. We have just over 13 hours left. So much can be accomplished in 13 hours. The entire post-production sound mix can be paid for, the visual effects, the color correction. So many things are possible in only 13 hours. And it doesn't matter how small the donation... Any amount of money, when it goes in the direction of things we admire, makes a big difference. Please, Alex, go on with your show.
No. it's our show, Phil. You know, whether you're a badger, whether you're indeed your crowdfunder, crowdsourcer, whether you're a director in Halifax, Nova Scotia, or a correspondent from Jersey, still they wait with anticipation. What is Phil Leonis going to make about this? It's a bit like, will this play in Des Moines, Indiana? Or wherever Des Moines happens to be.
Well, since you're introducing the idea, first of all, of me referring to myself in third person, which you know from time to time I enjoy doing, I understand that Alana doesn't think that she quite is ready for referring to herself in third person. But Phil Leonis certainly is, and in fact, just yesterday, Phil Leonis decided that he would like to be referred to the following way. Phil Leonis, he only kills what he needs.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
Well, Holly Parker certainly enjoyed that.
Rachel is a vegetarian, would you say? That's a case well, statement. Yeah, we're looking at the Lady Killers trailer at present. Yeah.
No, I actually got that line from one of the one-act plays in SciFest, the month-long science fiction theater festival that just ended here in Los Angeles. It was a huge success. In fact, they've already announced that it will return next year, SciFest 2015. And it was great fun. But one of these plays was a comedic science fiction play, post-apocalyptic, set in a travel agency called Smooth Landings. It starred our very own Lily Holloman. And that was one of the lines in it where they were throwing out possible slogans, post-apocalypse, where things had changed so much, and someone suggested that that be their slogan, and it got voted down, but I thought that's an outstanding slogan for me, and it certainly beats another slogan that they proposed in that play that also ties into the Midweek Drive. I never thought that this would possibly tie into the Midweek Drive, but you'll understand what I mean when I say that another slogan they consider and pass on in this play is... We drink our own urine.
Amazing.
What are the odds that could actually have anything to do with the Midweek Drive? And people just tuning in late are thinking I've lost my mind. But I did not. The words blue urine were repeated several times during this show, were they not?
Yes,
as indeed were various merchant bankers at various times as well, which we can go into. But I think it's swanky. That was the key thing that we were looking for. But still, that's the kind of excitement that you can actually get. By the way, whilst we've been doing that, I've actually followed the Lady Killers on Twitter. It's at Lady Killers Film, a dark comedy about a game of romantic conquest gone wrong that explores the ways exploitation in all its forms leads to violence. So there we are. And I see that actually 2 hours ago, a little update tweet here, we need only 5 more donors and we'll be able to share the sight of Lily Holliman doing the dance, but with lasers.
Yeah, she does a very unique dance. If you see us on Twitter or you like the film on Facebook, you'll see a file of Lily doing a very unique dance of celebration. And when we get to 100 donors, and I think we're only 3 away now, we'll have a special version of that. And then this is really actually quite cool. If we get more than 100 donors, there is a special bonus perk that every donor will enjoy, which is a personalized greeting from Christopher Walken, and or a classically trained Christopher Walken impersonator, and the more donors over 100, the funnier that greeting will be. So we've got some exciting things up our sleeves in the last 12 hours. You know that song "Forever Young" that you played earlier, Alex, is the favorite song of Bert Bulos, our co-producer and one of the stars of The Lady Killers, who I believe has been on this show.
Absolutely. So why it's all synchronized again. I've just actually had to close the window for Lily doing her dance because it was getting too distracting, I think.
It was. You just couldn't look away.
No, you could. But it's the way her mouth doesn't move at all. It's just there, but her hair swings, but her mouth just stays perfectly open.
The hair swings, but the mouth stays perfectly open.
Yeah, it's mesmerizing. It's really.
Now there's a quote for you, Phil, to pass on next time we actually sort of feature Lily Holliman.
Just watch it, and you'll notice if you watch that again.
You know, Alex, usually you're kind enough to plug something that we've discussed on the current episode of Chilpack Hollywood Hour, the weekly podcast I've been hosting for more than 7 years with Dean Haglund from The X-Files. But I want to beat you to the punch this week and actually preview something on next week's show, because it ties in so much with what's been going on today. We have on next week's show a fantastic film critic who's read around the world. He's the editor of the website Topless Robot, but he's also...
Sorry, did you say Topless Robots there?
Yeah, Topless Robot. It's quite an important nerd and geek fan site, and I say nerd and geek with love because those are words they themselves use. And it's he took over the site a couple years ago, and it's quite a fun site. But he's also an actor, and he's one of the stars of a science fiction film that comes out in the States next Friday, so about 10 days from now, 9 days from now, called The Human Race. It comes out in theaters and video on demand, and that film had its world premiere at the 2013 Sci-Fi London. So lest people think that these films that debut at Sci-Fi London don't go on to bigger things, here's just the latest example of how Louis Savvy finds these independently produced movies, and he's really got his hand on the pulse of what certainly genre audiences around the world are going to enjoy. And this film, The Human Race, oh, man, is this good. I don't know if you caught it last year at Sci-Fi London.
Tragically, no. We only actually went last year to see Ellipse. That was our key objective, and that's what we secured. But, yes, we didn't manage to catch that.
So next week's Chillback Hollywood Hour, you'll hear all about the film, and maybe we can arrange to get someone associated with that movie. Maybe Luke himself, since he's a film critic, and he hosts his own entertainment website here, and he's an actor starring in that movie. Maybe we should get Luke on your show.
I think. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah.
What do you think, Louis?
You're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren FM. My name's Louis Savvy, director of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival.
I think he's in agreement. Translating there from what he said. You know, he seemed to get the right show sorted out. So good.
He just cut out as he said yes.
Yeah.
Oh, don't quote me on that. I'll get turned off.
Louis will be back with us on the show today. I think that's a definite goer. So we have a little over 6 minutes for Phil Leonis to share, apart from obviously the fascinating world of Porphyria. What else? already we're looking at Fantastic Four rebooter Josh Trank to direct a Star Wars movie from, of course, the website Topless Robot. Yeah, genuinely. You've got Star Wars, Transformers, Batman, Star Trek, fan fiction contests, and impressive acts of nerdery, which always sounds quite interesting, if not a little bit insane from that point of view. So we'll just actually amuse ourselves by checking out toplessrobot.com whilst you share with the listener, Phil, what you actually made of the show as it's proceeded on this, the second, actually the first show in June 2014.
Well, actually, unfortunately, my final two contributions to the show both require participation there in the studio.
Oh, okay then.
The first one was, and I'm sure you might have explained this, but I missed this part if you did. Katie Grimmison got what part of her body pierced, and what did that word mean?
She got her tragus pierced, which is like the part of your ear. So it's not... yes.
Yeah.
But an unusual part of the ear? I mean, a part of the ear that people don't usually get pierced? Because if it's just the lobe, I mean, then she just got her ear pierced.
You know that weird bit of cartilage on the inside of your ear? It's like...
That sort of...
In the gap bit. Yeah? Do you know... Like a semicircle bit.
I'm so glad that there's no webcam right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're trying to.
Yeah. Very strange.
I think I speak for Phil Leonis when I say he's trying to find that part right now.
No, right. Right, when you put your hand on your ear, or your finger on your ear...
Don't do this if you're driving, by the way.
Yes. The middle bit of your ear where it's attached to your head, but inside the...
I try not to touch my own ears. I have as an ace director here in Hollywood, I have people who touch my ears for me. So.
Seven people apparently like the fact that she's actually got her tragus piercing done. Well,
it's a very cool piercing.
It goes from there to
You don't have to. No, you just have a loop like
just.
So my other question then, I felt like a gauntlet was thrown, and you know I do enjoy picking up a good gauntlet from time to time. Alex, do you really believe that Fawlty Towers is not popular here in Los Angeles? Certainly. In fact, I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know how well it holds up. But I would maybe go on as much of a limb as to say that I bet Fawlty Towers holds up better than Monty Python.
Really?
Ooh.
Wow.
Because I hear a lot from comics that, you know, grew up on Monty Python that have gone back to it, and it's something that you admire without necessarily still laughing at. But I do think about Fawlty Towers, and it still makes me giggle. So
but
I'm
who
curious,
doesn't laugh at know? Life of Brian?
What about Life of Brian?
That's everyone always laughs at that. No, you can't watch that and not laugh.
But those are the movies. I'm talking about the TV. I'm comparing the television shows. You know, the sketch show Monty Python Flying Circus. I'm sorry, with Fawlty Towers. No, absolutely. Also, Holy Grail holds up very, very well. So no, that's true. Once they were able to work with the bigger budget, those things I think stand the test of time. But Fawlty Towers is quite popular.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it's popular. I love Fawlty Towers.
Would you like, Phil, to have a bit of breaking news, breaking exciting news, which ties in with something you mentioned last week?
As long as it's about the Lady Killers Indiegogo campaign.
Well, I mean, you could say it's interesting. But Fiona Hardingham, who is the name of our comedian that I once sort of mistakenly called as opposed to yourself or vice versa. She's currently very busy, but her sister is joining us next week. The author of the blog entitled MyDaughterWon'tSleep.com, currently in the running for the Brilliance in Blogging competition 2014. It's about natural approaches to children's well-being. And indeed, as her niece didn't sleep properly for years, Caroline has actually tried everything, but this is the blog that actually will be featuring on next week's show, mydaughterwon'tsleep.com. There you are, you see. So I threw that into the mix in every sense of the words. We've got 2 minutes before we need to be sort of wrapping up and doing our other sort of sequence and getting a Mike Dooley thought of the day in, etc. So, Holly, any thoughts for Phil?
How is the post-production of The Lady Killers going? Yeah, are you nice just one. Waiting for the... I know, are you on waiting message. For the funding? Or are you on it?
Well, it's going... The work is incredible, but yeah, we're running out of time because we really do need to get this done in time for a film festival deadline at the end of August. So that is why this money is so important, because it allows us to speed up the process. And... So it's the work is going well, but it also, as we get closer to what needs to be the finish line, sometimes it seems that it's farther and farther away.
What you want has no bearing on whether or not you'll get it. None, nada, zippo. It's only ever a question of whether or not you can behave as if you already have it. I got you, babe. The universe.
Just wanted to actually drop that in
there.
Told
you, you'd love time and space.
Yeah, we know, exactly. It's an important thing. It just sort of shows that at the end of the day, it manifests itself in its own unique routine. Okay, thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Greg Jackson, Fiend Heel, we know you're out there somewhere. William Coles, Tallulah Rendell, Ilana Rain, and Phil Leonis. Rachel, last two questions for the Leonis Meister, please.
You haven't enjoyed talking to us today, Phil.
I did not hear the question, but I had a wonderful time.
Okay. Brilliant. Can we look forward to talking to you again soon?
Yes, I'll be back next week.
Brilliant.
See, success and happiness comes through. Coming up, we actually have Craig Wiley with a well-being show that's all signed up for the whole thing. Holly, have you enjoyed your midweek drive event today? Has it been good for you?
Yes. I don't want to leave. I will.
Well, you don't have to. You know, we can always have a coffee afterwards, chill out, you know, relax in all sorts of ways. You know, good things happen. And Rachel?
I have indeed.
Will you be here in the morning?
I don't think I will be.
No.
No
Rachel Warren in the morning. No. Holly?
No, I'm leaving tonight.
No Holly Parker in the morning. Ed Wellman's just walking past the studio. We don't know whether he'll be in any sort of fit state to actually do a morning show, so who knows? But we will be here sorting out a marvellous sort of melange of mellifluousness, as we do on the Midweek Drive. It's a message to you, Rudy. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye-bye!